Well, I am excited about God's Word this morning. We're going to continue a series that we just started last week called Angels, God's Messengers. Now, angels are with us everywhere we go. Now, I think this is something, you know, it's an integral part. They were here before we were. Yeah. And yet the church seems to know hardly anything when it comes to angels. When we are surrounded by a cloud of hosts, we're also surrounded, this is what I do love, you know, there's a lot about heaven that we don't know. There's a lot that we do know, and there's a lot that we don't know. But we are also told that there is that the ones who go to heaven before us, that there is a heavenly host who looks down and cheers and champions us on. This is the way I see it. You know, football season has started back, right? And praise him, everyone bow your head for a moment in silence. Whew, thank you, Jesus. You know, every once in a while, you know you're full of the Spirit of God when you begin to pray in the Spirit, and every once in a while the word Packer comes out. It's terrible. But this is it. I see heaven as an arena where those that have gone on before us are cheering, are watching intently. And if you think you've seen an exciting game where people were involved, you have not seen heaven involved in the things that are going on. Oh, I don't think you get the picture. I really don't think you get the picture. I think I think angels join in with us. I think they cheer with us. I think they watch and are encouraging. They're standing there. They're helping. And have you ever seen a quarterback that had to run and then, you know, and then the line helps him get through? All of a sudden, you may be in your place in God, and all of a sudden, you may realize you've got to run it in. There are angels that go before you to clear the path. Oh, my Lord. I feel like I'm going to get ahead of myself, so let's not do that. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start off in verse 10. But this, if we want to title this message, we're going to call it Never Alone. With me on this, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. We're going to start off here. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them significantly, and when it was testified beforehand, the suffering of Christ, that the glory should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto them, but unto us did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost and sent down from heaven. Are you ready? This is the point I want to focus on. Which things the angels desire to look into. Do you know, angels, the Bible even tells us when angels look at mankind, they say, who is mankind? Who is mankind that God would do the things he does with mankind? I just wonder, now I'm sure, you know, the thought process, I can't get into the thought process of angels, but as you know, I like to think a lot about certain things that really don't matter a whole lot, but I do wonder if angels at any time ever thought, Jesus died for them. God made them sons and daughters of his own. And so, you know, and the Bible tells us, you know, where we talked about the angels are a little, mankind is created a little below the angels, but endowed with power and grace. So our position is above them. In creation, we were created after, and power-wise, even less than in power. But in position, we are over. Have you ever been in a position over people? If you have kids, you better have a position that are over. Because if you don't have a position that is over them, they will create a position over you. I almost feel like, I have not seen the movie, that whole Jurassic Park, but where that guy and those dinosaurs and he's got his hands up and he's slowly backing up. Sometimes I feel like that with my children. Just everybody, I'm the one in authority here. Everybody else back away. And so, you know, there is position of angels, and we're going to go over that today. We're going to see the ranking of angels, where God lists certain angels. There is a ranking system. But I do wonder if angels ever looked at mankind, they just don't get it. They don't get it. And I also believe this. They don't experience the Holy Spirit as we experience the Holy Spirit. And so when we experience the Holy Spirit, I think they look back and they're bewildered. Like, I don't know what's going on here. Why does that person look like they grabbed a hold of a live wire? But I think they look in with intense wanting to look into. They want to understand, but there are some things they don't understand. On the day of the church, the day that the church, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, where he came back on the day of Pentecost and the church age came into existence. On that day, it surprised angels. Mankind. It's surprising. The devil was taken off guard, demons were taken off guard, and angels were also taken off guard. Angels' roles changed. They changed when the church age started. And we're going to get into all of this. And, you know, it showed up. Angels at one time preached the gospel. Do you know Jesus Christ himself came to earth and preached the gospel before he was ever born? And we can look back to Abraham. I know I'm saying some stuff here, but check me out. Don't just listen to me and be like, I don't know about that. How about look into the word of God and see? But it says that the angel showed up, angels more than one showed up to Abraham and told him the gospel. It actually uses the word gospel. Do you know that there is only one gospel? The gospel means good news. The good news is that Jesus died, rose again, and that word was told to Abraham. Abraham had an understanding of the price that was going to be paid of salvation so that mankind and that not just Jewish people could get in on it, but the rest of the world could get in on it. Abraham knew it. And Jesus himself showed up. But then there's also a covenant that was cut with him that if you read about it and get into detail about that, Abraham basically went into a deep sleep, and Jesus, God made a covenant, and Jesus walked in between all the offerings of him. Jesus showed up and preached the gospel before it ever happened. Angels preached the gospel before it ever happened. They foretold the coming of Jesus. Even the angel showed up to Mary and told the gospel that you are chosen, you are blessed. And we see that they preached to other people in times past, but this is it. When the church age came, they're not really carrying the gospel anymore. You want to know why? Because this is your job now to carry the gospel. Amen. And we see that in Revelations, what is it? Revelations 14, I believe 6 and 7. You don't have to turn there. Write it down. Revelations, it tells us that angels, once you know we are removed out of the way, angels will come back and preach the gospel. But we have no record of them preaching the gospel until that time again, after the church age is over. So their jobs changed on church age. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to go with verse 7. We have a lot of material to cover, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you I'm going to be pretty fast today. You might have picked that up already. But also, if you have notes, write these scriptures down. There's a lot of scriptures we're not going to go to. I'm just going to quote them because I have a list of scriptures. And if we turned here, we'd be here all day long going through all of them. Some of them we'll read. Are you expecting to stay long anyway? I'm going to be quick this morning. I am. Time me. Somebody time me. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7. Now, don't stop me when we hit somewhere, but just time me. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7. And it says, and the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, angels are a being of light. Why are we teaching on this? Because I want you to understand it. There's a lot of crazy ideas about angels out there. And when you see paintings of angels, what do you see? You see fat little babies with little bitty wings and harps, right? That is not an angel. That is not an angel. Can you imagine at war, this thing wearing a diaper just in? That's not it. That is not the angels of God. Nowhere do we see that. But if they were created that way, they'd still be strong enough with the power of God to defeat the enemy. All right, but that is not what they look like. Okay, so angels of light, they're made in the image of God. God is light. God is light. Amen. And there is no darkness found in him. That's the word. And so angels are made in that image that they are beings of light. Can I tell you this? You know, I don't talk a whole lot about experiences that I've had just because, one, they're weird, and you just can't point to the word of God and show them to be true. So I don't like to talk about them a whole lot. But, you know, I have seen an angel in the form of fire. I've seen one of them. I've seen one of them show up that way. And some of you, I've talked to some have shared stories with me that they have experienced angels in some way, shape, or form. And some people will live and die and never experience or see them anyway, but they are there operating in your life whether you do or do not see them.
Right.
Hello, they are surrounding you at all times. You're never alone. Look at your neighbor and say, you're never alone. You know, I had someone tell me, you probably shouldn't share all your experience that people think you're crazy. I'm like, they already do. they already do. All I'm doing is just absolutely letting them know they're right. They're right. Someone told me one time, you have lost your mind. I'm like, yes, I'm glad you noticed. The Bible says, lose your mind and gain the mind of Christ. When I got saved, I lost my mind. Doesn't mean that I don't still use it. I mean, you got to know when you look at my lovely wife that I still use my brain. I somehow tricked her into marrying me. Hebrews 13 and verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Angels surround us. The Bible tells us, do not forget to entertain people. You're called to hospitality. To people you know and people you don't know. And it lets us know, can I tell you this? If you're looking for the things of God to come to pass, you're going to find them. You will entertain them. And I believe if we are aware of angels, I think that we will probably, as a church whole, see them more. All right. Some people are like, I'm not going to be aware. I'm not going to be aware. So I think some people would freak out if an angel showed up in their life. Now, there are many rankings of angels, but some angels stay in heaven and some angels never come down. Some angels stay on earth and never go up. And then there's angels that come back and forth. And then there's angels that we have reports of only being here once. Isn't it interesting? So we're going to go through all of them. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to, anyone know before we get there, what is the first angel ever mentioned in the Bible? Nope. What? There is an angel of the Lord, but it gives its ranking. It gives its position. Anyone? 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 All right, we're getting there. Genesis chapter. If you turn there quickly, read ahead and shout it out. All right. Genesis 3 and 24 states this. So he drove out man. This is the fall of Adam and Eve. And God removed them out of the garden. And he placed at the east of the garden of Eden, what? Cherubims. And that is a position of angels with a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep out of the way of tree of life. Now, I've had people talk to me about the tree of life before. Pastor, will we ever find the tree of life? This is my opinion and my opinion alone. Don't have to believe this. I believe that the tree of life was destroyed in the flood. That there is no more tree of life here on earth. I believe it was destroyed. And we don't have to worry about it today. If I'm wrong, what does that matter? It doesn't. Don't you love it? And so the first angels ever mentioned in the Bible that we have record of is cherubim. Now, cherubim, we know a little bit about them, that they are in heaven. Where else do we see them in the Old Testament I will just say this, not in appearance, but in a graven image. Where? The Ark of the Covenant. Anybody mind immediately go to Indiana Jones? And the Ark of the Covenant. And so, you know, we can't say 100% how, you know, they look, but that's where my mind goes immediately. I remember watching it and seeing the Ark with the angels with the wings coming to a tip, hiding their face. And they are surrounded, of the kingdom of God. They stay in heaven. The only time we've seen them leave is in Genesis. And so after the flood, I just believe that angel went back to heaven and that's where they stayed. Now, so cherubim, they are God's top angels, the highest ranking angels in the kingdom. And we do have, they were on the Ark of the Covenant, and we see that in Isaiah 37, 16, 2 Kings 19 and 15, and 1 Chronicles 13 and 6. Now, they guard the throne of God, Ezekiel 10, 1 through 5. Now, Satan, before his fall, when he was considered Lucifer, or the angel of light, or the bearer of light, when he was there, he was the most anointed cherub, the top of the cherub, and we find that in Ezekiel 28 and 14. They are described as having wings, a set of wings. Now that is one rank of angels. The second rank of angels we see is a seraphim. They are angels described as having six wings. So we have one angel with one set of wings, another angels with six sets of wings, and they surround the kingdom of God all day long, and they're in charge of guarding the kingdom, but not only that, the throne room of God, but also are in the presence of the glory 24/7. And they have one set of wings that covers their eyes and their face, another set of wings that covers their feet, and another set of wings that they fly with, six wings. So six wings all together. And this is interesting to me, that even this angel, even though they created and they're in the presence of God all day long, they still cover their face from the glory. They still can't handle the glory to the full extent. Isn't that interesting? Do you know only by the blood of Jesus can you walk into the kingdom of God? It was the Ark of the Covenant that held the power of God Almighty on the inside of it. And if any man touched it, they died. And it's only by the blood of Jesus today that we step into the power and the glory of God. And that lets us know that even though the angels were created to serve the Lord, they still have not been anointed to see or step in the blood of Jesus, where they're considered sons and daughters of God, being able to see the glory 24/7. Aren't you thankful for the position that you hold? And so you might say again, why do I need to know this? Because there are people who have no idea, and I want you to have a good understanding on it. All right. And so we have the cherubim. Then we have the seraphim. Yes. Angels in Isaiah 6:2 tells us that they guard or remain in heaven at all times. And then also Isaiah 6:4 tells us that they guard and announce God's holiness. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. They constantly praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? I look forward to the day that we get to go to heaven and it says that we will throw our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine the celebration that we're going to have that day? So under them is the archangel. He is the next one in league, in ranking. Now, how many archangels do we have? One archangel. The church gets this confused because of the story back in Daniel, where Michael the archangel was fighting and Gabriel came down and gave a message unto Daniel and basically stated, God heard you the first time you prayed. God heard you the first time, but we had a little trouble getting through. We had to fight our way through. Michael fought the way through. And a lot of people go ahead and associate him as a archangel as well. And it never calls him an archangel. What did he do? He delivered a message. He's a messenger. Okay? And so we have one as an archangel, and his name is Michael. And we can look at Jude 9. Jude 9 says, yet Michael, the archangel. Doesn't say, you know, angels. It says the archangel. It is a position over all the other angels that are warriors. They're fighting angels. Aren't you glad you got a whole, let's just put it this way, an army of angels. Do you know this is interesting too? There are rankings. We've already talked about this in messages past of demonic forces. There are rankings. You know, the devil does not come up with new ideas. I think, I know he in heaven saw the ranking and decided this is a good idea. Let's use it for our own benefit. And so there is order, and I have had people tell me this. I don't like the fact that there's order. Let's all be equal. Let's all get a trophy. Let's all have this. Let's all be on the same playing field. Well, guess what? God has made ranking and order. And ranking and order is not going to go away at the destruction of this earth. There will still be ranking, and there will still be order in heaven. Everybody doesn't get a trophy. And there are MVPs, and we're all going to be one. Thank God. No. And so, you know, there is ranking in heaven. What decides? I can't tell you everything, but that's a whole different message. But there will be ranking. Now, Revelation 12:7 tells us this, that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now, the good news is Michael won. Aren't you excited about it? If there's a war, you want to be on the winning side. And 1/3 of the angels fell. So Lucifer took, before he became Satan, took 1/3 of the angels and they fought. And guess who won? God won. Sorry, I had a lot of thoughts go through my mind. But so Michael, the archangel, he has a whole army of angels underneath him. And these angels are called the chief prince. They are warrior angels that accompany Michael from heaven. And they live in heaven for the majority. And they come down to do war and battle. That is their job. That is their whole purpose. Now, I have heard this, and I want to go over this really quickly. I've heard people say, and I've heard teachings, I've had on my own family members talk this way, and I just want to discuss it just very quickly here. Have you ever heard, you need to tell your angels what to do? and you need to send your angels out. Well, let's talk about the biblical way of doing that. Are you ready? The biblical way is not mentioning whatever it is you want them to do to go do. Because this is the way that the church teaches it in some circles and the way that it almost sounds. Angels that are surrounding around me, you go get my money, you go do this, you bring me my healing, you go out and fight, you begin to become their general. You are not an archangel. To be an archangel would be your butt stepping down from your position and getting into a lower place.
Right.
Hello? Let me say that one more time in maybe a little better manner. For you to get into the place of barking orders at angels is you stepping out of your position. It's not your position. All right, let's look at it this way. The president of the United States, do you think he tells the generals everything to do when we are in war to move the soldiers where they need to go? Or do you believe that there is somebody that is in a position that understands military power, greater level, and maybe he has a whole board of them. They all sit down, come to a conclusion, and then that's what they do. And the president doesn't bark the order to every soldier in every department. He stands in his position. As children of God, we stand in our position. And we continue to do what God's word tells us to do. We quote God's word. We live God's word.
Right.
And then the angels will do as they are supposed to. Because,
right.
You know, I mean, if you followed every teaching out there, what you're supposed to do, you would never have rest. Hello, you would never rest because they tell you what you have to do. You have to war. You have to march. You have to yell. You have to blow your trumpets. You have to do all this thing. And these are fine. And I'm not telling you God will never tell you to do those things. But what I am telling you is to follow the Spirit of the Lord. Follow what God has called you to do. And just trust God. Trust the Lord. And the angels will work on your behalf. Now, angels, they hearken unto the words of God. And they did, that was their job 100% before the church age, was hearken to the voice of God. But there came a point where God said, now look, angels. Now you're going to hearken to my word no matter where it comes from. Whether it comes out of my mouth. Have you ever been put in a position where somebody said, when they speak, it's as me speaking to you. When they tell you what to do, you do and follow them. Because they give power of attorney. They give the ability to stand in a position. And so God has now stated, now listen up, angels. My word is powerful. And you used to just listen to me when I spoke. Now, when they speak my word, you will listen and hearken to it. So when you begin to just quote the word, when you begin to live God's word out, and you just begin to thank God, Father, I thank you that I am protected on all sides. I thank you that, you know, 1,000 may fall, 10,000 may fall, but it will not come nigh unto me. You don't have to tell the angel, now I see all these people falling, angels. Get around me, protect me, stand there. You don't have to tell them anything. You quote the word and they will do the word. They will hearken to the word of the Lord, whether it comes out of God's mouth or whether it comes out of your mouth. Hello. And so we don't want to get, this is why I'm telling you this. I don't want you to get tied up to thinking that it's angels will listen to you and we get into a mentality where it's based on works versus, because, oh, something happened to me because I didn't tell my angel to do something. Well, let me tell you something. Those angels kept your butt a long time in Amen. Peace and harmony Amen. Before you ever heard that teaching.
Amen.
Why? Because they were hearkening to the word of God. And so let me just go ahead and say this too. If anything ever bad happens to us, let's get out of the mentality of judging our relationship with God and our position with God out of that. Because that's not how we judge our relationship with God. We judge our relationship with the Lord out of his word. And we live in a world where bad things just naturally happen. But you know what? God has promised that he will keep us and he will move us through it all. Not some of it, all of it. So if something has happened to you, oh, I didn't command an angel. Oh, I must have sinned. Oh, I must have done this. I must have done that. How about this? Oh, the enemy hates my guts and wants to take me out. But I stand in the power of God Almighty. I am a child of the living God, not because of what I have done, but because of what God has done for me. I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. No sin, no chain. Nothing holds me back from his kingdom. I walk 100% in the power of God Almighty.
Amen.
And how about we judge our relationship on that? But Pastor, I messed up. Well, I got a good scripture for you. 1 John 1:9. Ask for forgiveness and God is faithful.
Yes.
He's not like your mama. He's not going to keep digging it into you every once in a while. Be like, you come up. You remember when you've done that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That's great. He's not like your uncle going to remind you of all the things you did bad with him. He's not going to remind you. That's not how God works. When God forgives you, he throws it as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again. If you bring it up, I think the Lord looks at God, the Father looks at God, the Son, and says, hey, what in the world is Dan talking about? I have no understanding. The boy keeps babbling on about something. And I don't even have record of it. Jesus, check your record. Angels, check your record. I do see a white out, you know, a blotted out spot about that time he's talking about, Lord, but I got nothing. I have nothing.
Amen.
Your relationship with God is solid. You need to look at your neighbor and say, your relationship with God is solid. Your mistakes of the past can't keep you out of the presence of God. Your mistake of the past, your angels don't even look at you and say, oh, you know what? I was going to protect him, but you know, 2 years ago, he made this, so today we're going to let this one slip. We're going to let this one hit him. I don't even really like him anyway. No, that is not how it operates. And can I tell you something? A soldier can disagree with an order, but they still follow through with it.
That's right.
Because they follow command. Angels might look at things and not understand how it works 100%, not understand your position, not understand why you are led by the Holy Spirit as you are. They may look into a lot of things and not understand it, but they do follow orders.
Amen.
And they hearken to the word of God. All right, so Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 says this. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Angels look at this. We're required. I want you to understand something. That's what we're required to do. We're not required to bark out orders. And I'm not telling you, sometimes, and I get it. I do get it. Sometimes you need to shout out for your own self. It ain't for angels. It might be for you. And can I tell you something? There are things that I go into prayer before the Lord, and I had somebody tell me one time that God is not nervous. You don't have to get that loud. And I'm here like, yeah, or excuse me, God is not deaf. That's what they told me. God is not deaf, that you don't have to get that loud. And I'm here like, yeah, it really wasn't for him. It was for me. But I want you to know something else. God is not nervous either. I might make you nervous, but I do not make the Lord nervous. And so there are times that I shout and get loud in my prayers, and it's not because I think I need to pray that loud for God to hear me. It's more I need to get myself under control. Hello? It's more for me than it is for him. And so when you pray, you know, and you may be quiet prayers, dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus. And then you might be crazy, wild, insane prayers, Jesus. Might look like the robot. I have no idea. But whatever your prayer system is, we need to understand our position. And getting, you know, worked up does not cause your prayers to move any faster.
That's right.
Be like, you got to feel it. Feel it. I was bored in a church that they didn't know what was going on. They would pray for you and they would shake you. Woo! Yes, Lord. Let it go. Let it go, Dan. Let it go. Let it go. And then you got someone on the other side. Hold on, Dan. Hold on. Hold on. You got someone, let the fire fall. Woo! And then somebody else, let the rain pour. You know, the church had no idea what we were doing. They didn't know if we needed to let go or hold on, let it burn or let it come, you know, get wet. We had no idea if we needed to jump in the river or stand on the mountaintop. We had no idea. And if you listen to them, you'd be just as confused as they are. But the Bible lets us know that we are to walk in what is good. What is required of us is to do justly. Be a just person.
Yeah.
To walk in justice. To love mercy.
Yeah.
And walk humbly before God. And as we do those things, the angels will hearken to the words. And God's power and protection and all his word that is in him, all his promises in him, yes, and in him, amen, are ours. Yeah. We don't have to get concerned that we're going to miss something. God's big enough to cover us even if we're not walking in something like we should.
Amen.
And believe God, this is it. Your walk with God is a progression.
Yes. Yes.
It's a progression. It's a lifetime. It's forever. We're going to walk in His power, in His love, in His word for us. And we're going to grow. Guess what? Next year, if Jesus tarries, you'll know more next year than you do this year. And you'll be further along. And this is it. We can't get to a place where, how did we even make it? We didn't even know as much because we did the things that were required of us. And as we do the things that are required of us, God surrounds us like a shield. He has His angels over us. So what do we have? We have the cherubim. We have the seraphim. Then we have the archangel. Then we have the chief priest, which are basically the warring angels that fight with the archangel. And then under that, we have the angels of hosts, or the host of angels, as is listed in the word. Now, the host of angels surround us. I would like, if we're going to talk about battle and protection, these would be like the police officers. How awesome would it be if you had like innumerable amount of police officers following you at all times? Okay, I talked to someone. This was a long time ago. I'm trying to think how many years, but this was a long time ago. They said they lived in Memphis, right? And they said that they lived in one of the worst neighborhoods in Memphis. And they said people got shot and killed going to check their mail at the post office. And this person was a concealed carry, and you know, you're not allowed to carry in federal buildings, including post office. He said, but I was so concerned for my life that I would just hold my gun up in the air and walk into the post office, grab my mail, and if anyone, I would stare at them the whole time with my hand, you know, my gun in the air. I laughed so hard at that story. That makes me laugh hysterically. But they said they were in such a bad neighborhood, but for their protection, they thought that's what they had to do. I'm going to tell you something. Could you imagine? This is my imagination when you're walking to have, you know, let's just say a couple thousand angels with their weapons up in the air looking at everyone else is walking around you. They have you covered. I don't know what you have to imagine in your mind to know that you're covered, whether it's the cherubs with the angels walking around with the swords of fire. I don't know what it is that you need to put in your head to know that angels surround you and have you covered. But I want you to know something. The angels of hosts are innumerable. It says they cannot be counted, and they surround mankind. We see this to the prophet of Elijah and Elisha, where he said, God, He came in and said, we're surrounded by an army. And he said, go, there's more that be with us. And like, there ain't nobody out there but the army. And he said, God, please open his eyes that he can see. And he looks back out and he sees angels in chariots of fire. Amen. He sees them in their true form. Right. Because they are light. They are fire. And so these angels are surrounding. And then all of a sudden peace came to his heart. He says, there is more that be with us than are with them. I'm going to tell you something. Wherever you go, there is more that is with you than that is with the world. There is more. So this is it. Let's get to a place where we are confident in God. Now, we do what we know to do. You need to pay attention to your surroundings, protect your own self. But what I am stating is when you can't fulfill everything, this is one of my prayers about my family. Lord, I can't protect my girls at all times. When I'm not there, protect them. And even when I am there, keep protecting them. I thank you that I have confidence in your ability to hold us, to keep us, to guide us and direct us. And even if we're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you're big enough to cover us. And I thank you, Father, for doing so. Now, does it mean God himself is going to show up in my time of need? I don't know. Maybe it's an angel. Maybe it's Jesus. I have no idea whatever is needed, but I am confident that God will send it. If I needed all of heaven to back me up, all of heaven would respond. But thank God, one third fell, we are outnumbering them automatically. If you can do math, there's three, one, I still have two. You know, I heard a report not too long ago. If you got five pieces of bacon and John takes two of them, what does John have? A black eye. No, that's terrible. Y'all shouldn't laugh at jokes like that. Now, but the point is there always more angels with you? If you can do simple math, you understand there are more that be with us than with the world. All right, so I'm going to quote a lot of scriptures at you. Write these down. 2 Kings chapter 6 and 17, that's where Elijah prayed, open his eyes, and he was able to see the angels that surround him. Now, these angels, these host of angels, they surround us at all times. They're actually assigned to you. They don't leave you. They never leave you wherever you go. They go. Yes, even if you go to a place you weren't supposed to be, they still follow you. Hello? They follow the children of God. They are assigned to the children of God. Do you know this? Not every human being on the face of the earth have angels assigned to them. It's those who follow the Lord. Amen. Those who follow God have angels surrounded them, innumerable, and the ones that stay with them 24/7 are the angels of hosts. Psalms 91:11 says, "He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." Now, they will guard us. Genesis 24:7 says this, "He has sent his angels before thee." Angels actually go out before you get there. That's good. They do recon. We just read one that says he will lift you up. Your foot shall not dash against your against a stone. Well, you know how he knows the stone is there? They went before you. Some are around. Have you ever seen those movies where they protect the president? Some go out before. There's whole teams. You're never left alone. They go before you. They're everywhere. They follow you. They know where you're going. They know you so well. They know your habits. They know your ticks. They know your buttons. They follow you. They know you. I've had a minister tell me one time, the devil in hell has a file with your name on it. He knows everything about you. That may be true, but can I tell you something else? The angels of God have a file with my name on it, and they know everything about me as well. And if the devil wants to show up, the angels will be there first. All right. And so also Genesis, we said Genesis 7, he sends his angels before thee. Genesis 24:7 and Genesis 24:40 says this, we'll send his angels with thee to prosper thee in thy way. Do you know angels, one of their jobs is to make sure you prosper? If you have prospered, there's an angel involved somewhere. Let me think about that. Just thinking of some times I prospered, there was an angel involved. Love it. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 20. It says, "Behold, I send angels before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared for you." Angels protect us. They are sent before us, and they even stop trouble before we get there. Sometimes you won't even know the trouble you were about to get in. Have you ever looked back at your past and maybe you were at a place you shouldn't have been, a neighborhood you shouldn't have showed up in? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you just did something that was just absolutely stupid. I have no idea. Maybe you went on a mission trip and got into a part of town you shouldn't have been on. I'm just thinking of my own experiences. And then you look back in life later and say, "My God, I was so dumb. I can't believe that I went in there so ignorant. I can't believe that I just, you know, walked through something. Like, how in the world did I live?" There were problems that would have come your way, but angels went before you and stopped it before it ever got there. I look forward to getting to where we get to a point. I just personally believe that, you know, in heaven, we're going to get to find out a lot of things about ourselves that we didn't even know. I don't know if we read a book or watch a movie, but I look forward to seeing all the things that angels went in. I think it'd be like a war zone. You're just walking so normally, and then bombs are going off all around you. Angels are taking care of things. They went before you. Daniel chapter 6 and 22 says this, "God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth." Yep. Before Daniel ever got there, God shut the mouth of the lions. Luke chapter 16 and 22. "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels." One of their jobs is to carry us into eternity, to transport us. Even when we go to heaven, we don't even have to find the way on our own. They are the ones who carry us there. They take us into eternity. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." They can give us direction. Do you know, I remember a story recently. Someone just told me about this, and they were telling me that someone came and told him, said, "Hey, Oh, yeah. It was a minister who was trying to get out of town, and there was a snowstorm. And they went up to the airline, and all of it was shut down. And they said, a person told him, said, hey, you know, the buses are still running. Said, buses are still running? Yeah, if you get down to the buses, you could go. Well, where are the buses? Told them the location. So they got in a taxi, made it to that side of town, got into to the bus station and said, hey, I need a bus to this location. And the guy said, there is no buses leaving this station. And she said, well, someone told me that the buses were leaving. And he said, no, they told you wrong. And so she got away from the air and she went to sit down and saw the same person. And said, hey, this line over here is selling the last tickets to the bus. And he said, go get in that line. And she went over and got in that line, got her ticket, was on the last bus out of town to where she needed to go. And she said, I didn't even think about it. She said, until later. Angels will give direction in our time of need. Angels will give direction. And so this is the encouragement I want to give you this morning. No matter where you are, follow. Do as God has commanded us. And it doesn't matter if Jesus Christ himself shows up or angels show up. Know that God has you covered. There are, angels of hosts, they don't have wings. They don't have wings. Not every angel has wings. We've learned this morning that some angels have two wings, some angels have six wings, some angels have no wings. And the angels of hosts, they have no wings. They're surrounded about you all the time. God has got you covered. You are never alone. You may feel alone sometimes in this world, but I want you to understand you are never by yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, God has you covered. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for every angel that surrounds us. We thank you, Father, that your word.